My Bridge Radio, that is Chris Tomlin, our God. Thanks for joining Stan and me. Merrily Bradley in Lincoln has experienced the pain and loss of infertility and is walking that journey with other women as well. Merrily, it is so good to have you back on the Morning Conversation with us today.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, we've had you on numerous times in the past years, Merrily, but as we were approaching Mother's Day, decided that we really wanted to do a focus on loss and really ministering to the women out there that have had various types of loss. And as we talked about infertility, we knew exactly one of the people that we wanted to talk to because that's been your experience and it's been a passion of yours to really minister to women in that area. So just again, thanks for taking some time with us today.
I'm so glad you're allowing me to talk about this. I feel like right before you called, my 18-month-old dumped a box of cereal on the kitchen floor. And I thought, you know, even this is informed by what I experienced through infertility. The kind of parent that I am now is in large part shaped because of those years and years we went through of not having the fertility experience we thought would happen for us.
So, Merrily, a very simple question on the front end, somewhat, maybe. Give us a definition of infertility.
Oh, infertility, in my experience, is not being able to have kids, not being able to physically, biologically procreate when you want to, when you think you can, when you had an idea that this was going to be within your control.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you define it that way, Merrily, because as I was kind of processing our time this morning, and I just thought, you know, not all, but there are a number of women who feared infertility because it didn't happen when they wanted to, but they ended up having kids at some point. But yet that window where they were fearing infertility was very, very real to them, and the possibility of infertility was very real to them, and all the dynamics and emotions of infertility was very real to them.
Yes, it shapes you. It's a grief process. It's a loss process. And for many, many women that have an infertility diagnosis, it isn't the closed door you might imagine it is. It's kind of this door that hangs slightly open where somebody says to you, I don't know, maybe it'll happen, you know, or I'm sure it won't happen, but you know other stories where it has. So you can't even grieve it fully, the loss. I know for sure this is never going to work because you just don't know, which means you grieve it in little bits every single month for years.
This conversation will continue in moments here on MyBridge Radio.
We are bringing Nebraska together. MyBridge Radio, that is Jordan Feliz with The River, Stan and Gordon with you today. Mother's Day, of course, is a special day to celebrate mothers, but it can also be a very difficult time for women who are struggling with infertility. Merrily Bradley is sharing insights from her experience with us today.
Merrily, a few moments ago, you were talking about the grieving process or the partial grieving process. I'd love to unpack that a little bit more because that made a lot of sense to me that sometimes it's harder not knowing for sure that it's a closed door, that fertility someday is an absolutely closed door, than it would be then if you knew for sure it was closed. Mm-hmm. So talk about that.
Yes, I feel like if you know for sure biologically this is impossible, you could grieve that fully one time. You know, it would be a process throughout your life, but you would know this is what I'm grieving, the loss of pregnancy, of childbirth, of feeling a body grow within my body, you would be able to fully go through that process. But I think when you don't know for sure, or even when the doctors are telling you it's for sure, but in your mind you just don't know, then it just feels this loss over and over and over again. Instead of it being a one-time closed door sadness, it's this every 28 days. You're experiencing that all over again of that hope cycle. And that's where it is. It's that maybe this is going to be the month. Maybe God's going to do a miracle. Maybe things are going to change. And then that dashed hopes just happens with such regularity and infertility.
Mm. Merrily, that was such a vivid picture that really helps connect us to really the heart and the experience of a woman that is wrestling with the fear of infertility. What's another couple things that to give us just kind of a perspective to help those of us who know or will know someone who's struggling through infertility? What are some other things that she experiences?
Maybe you wouldn't expect this because it seems like it's so outside of the person's control who's going through infertility, but there is a lot of shame for husbands and wives in this position. And that's not appropriate, but it exists because there's just this feeling of what must I have done wrong? And so it's really hard to talk about this with other people because you feel that shame, you feel that judgment, or you feel those questions that kind of imply maybe you don't know what you're doing, you know, or maybe there are other better answers out there somewhere for you and you're just not pursuing them in the correct way. And so there becomes this isolating effect of infertility where you don't want to talk about it, you're afraid to talk about it, and yet it is kind of dominating your thoughts. There's another aspect of infertility, this spiritual part of it, where I think, I know I struggled a lot with feeling forgotten. And it wasn't until I was reading Hannah's story about how she comes to the Lord with her desire for a son. And after she leaves, it says the Lord remembered her, and she became pregnant. And the Lord remembering her, to me, felt so real and true, and that when you are not being remembered by God, it feels like you've been forgotten. So you feel isolated from your friends who are having kids, and then in some ways you start to feel isolated from God, like he isn't remembering you.
Wow. And obviously with all that comes a lot of emotion and a lot of struggle. So again, thank you so much for getting us in touch with that this morning, Marilee.
Helping to keep you connected to God, MyBridge Radio, that's Jesus Culture with Fierce, Stan and Gordon with you. As Mother's Day is approaching, we want to be sensitive to the women in our lives who are experiencing the pain of infertility. We're talking this morning with Marilee Bradley about that topic.
Marilee, obviously, in the midst of the very real reality of a fear of infertility, there are lies that women believe in the midst of that. What are the lies that tend to stir in the soul of women wrestling with infertility?
I think a lot of us struggle with the idea that maybe we can't get pregnant because we wouldn't be a good mom. Like, God knows something we don't know about our own ability to parent, and so we aren't allowed to have kids. And I think we even feel that other people must think that about us. Like, if we could be good moms, then obviously God would give us children. So there's this doubt of our own ability to be a mother, which is so hurtful, on top of feeling like your body's failed you, to feel like maybe you aren't a good woman in other ways, too. And I think there's also this lie that we shouldn't have married who we married because, you know, infertility can often be specific to the man in the relationship or the husband in the relationship, but when you're married, it is your infertility, the two of you, that can't create life. And I think because we think of that creating of life as God's blessing on a marriage, that when God doesn't give that to you, you start to question, is this the person I was supposed to marry? You feel that if it's your infertility, you think, well, should my husband have married someone else so he could have kids? If it's your husband's infertility, you think, well, should I have married someone else so I can have kids? It really starts to feel like maybe I didn't do what God wanted me to do, even in my marriage. I think there's also a lie that there's something fundamentally wrong with your body, with the way God created you. And obviously there can be something, you know, medically wrong with your body. But I think this idea that goes deeper than just the medical part of it, that you start to have this contentious relationship with your own body, where you despise it or you hate it or you think negative things about it because it can't do what a woman's body is supposed to do or what a man's body is supposed to do. So you start to believe that God made me wrong, or that there's just something fundamentally wrong with who I am, even in my body.
You know, Marilee, as you're sharing those lies, you know, maybe one of them I would have thought of, but, you know, the other two, I don't think I would have. And I'm sure that your list could go on and on, but it really does allow us just to feel kind of the weight that can be on women who are struggling with infertility.
And you can imagine, if you believe those lies about yourself, how hard it is to talk to your friends about those things, to talk to your family or your pastor about those things, if you believe this is really an indication of a fundamental problem with who you are, which isn't true.
MyBridge Radio, that is Ever Be from Aaron Schust. Thanks so much for joining Stan and me. Marilee Bradley is with us this morning, sharing insights for couples who are struggling with infertility and for us as we walk alongside those couples.
Marilee, I'd like to talk some more about the truths that women need to believe who are grappling with the fear of infertility. And specifically, talk to us about something that they need to realize is true about God.
I think it is so important and necessary to realize God has not forgotten you. That is the lie that we tell ourselves, is that God doesn't remember us. He doesn't remember our desire for children. But instead, to realize that God is with you in this process. He sees you. He knows you. He created you this way, both in your desire for children and in this desire gone awry and what isn't working right for your body. He knows that. He is present with you, and that he has a plan. And we don't know what that plan is going to look like, whether that looks like adoption, or it looks like childbirth in the future, or it looks like investing yourselves in kids other ways. But we know that he is intentional about this. And I mean, we've said infertility is something we would not wish on our worst enemies, but we wouldn't trade it for the world, because it was what God used to get our attention and to give us a passion for his kids in other ways.
Marilee, you know, one of the things that seems pretty evident when you look at the breadth of Scripture is the sovereignty of God in the midst of women's fertility and infertility. Talk to us about that. Where does the sovereignty of God come into the conversation today, in present day, when we're talking about the fear of infertility?
Fertile women and men know in a unique way how in control God is of the fertility process. And I think we hear other people say things like, I'm going to space my kids 2 years apart and we want to have three and then we'll be done. And it's just mind-boggling. Like, that's not the way God has shaped my life. And I think this has been a way that he absolutely has shown me that he is in control of this. And we tried multiple fertility procedures. None of those ended in a live birth for us. So as much as we tried to take control of that process, that was not God's plan. We have two biological kids that were both unplanned pregnancies, that was God's plan for us, that he was in control of that too. Really, as much as we can try to make this about us and our plan and our timing, God's going to do what he wants to do with this.
Marilee, the thought that keeps coming to my mind as you were talking there was, in some ways, couples who are struggling with infertility have a more realistic, accurate picture of the sovereignty of God than those of us who didn't struggle with it. We are under the illusion of us being the ones in control of the birth process, the fertility process, but the reality of it is, even in those times, God is the one who is sovereign.
We're going to be continuing our conversation with Marilee Bradley in just about 20 minutes, so please stay tuned. Helping to keep you connected to God, MyBridge Radio, that is Laura's Story, Mighty to Save. Good morning. Thanks for joining Stan and me. Along with remembering mothers this Mother's Day, we want to be sensitive to women who long for children but have been unable to have children of their own. Marilee Bradley is joining us today with some insights on that.
Marilee, I want you to speak to a few people this morning. First of all, I'd love for you to speak to the woman who's listening this morning that is wrestling in the throes right this moment of infertility.
My hope for you is that you have good, solid community, that you have people who love you that you feel safe to talk to, and not everyone is safe to talk to. You have to find those people who are willing to understand and want to be educated and will walk alongside you with sensitivity. That's going to be such a big help as you navigate this process. And I want to encourage you, too, to invest in your marriage, and that this can be really hard on a marriage as you both are grieving in really different ways, but you're grieving the same thing, and you want to provide this for each other, but you can't control that. This is a time for you to invest in your friendship and to be able to hear each other's hearts and all of this. That's such an important part of this infertility process.
And what would you speak to her in terms of hope?
The hope is that God knows you. He has a plan for you. It is specific to you, and it is for your good. And I don't know what that's going to look like. And no one can promise you that that's going to be children from your body, but it is going to be a good plan. I think about the plan I had, how small it was in comparison to what God has chosen for me. My dreams were absolutely not big enough, and God had to take that hope and that dream that I had, and he had to mold it and shape it into what he wanted for my life, which has been so much more big and beautiful and full of so much more blessing than I would have even dared ask him for when we were in the middle of that infertility process. So I think you've got to give God your hope and give God your dreams and let him shape that into what he wants that to be.
Marilee, you mentioned that your vision was too small for what God had for you, and that was part of your story there you just shared. And true, I mean, to know you, it's just been amazing to see God's plan for your family. I mean, he expanded your vision from you just wanting a child or two to you ending up with six children, you know, four of which came from foster care and adoption, and two surprise pregnancies that he blessed you and your husband Brian with. So, and then through those experiences, he's expanded your influence to help many people, both locally, but then also really nationally and internationally through your blog. So it's a great encouragement this morning just to hear what God does when one surrenders their dreams and hopes to him.
We are bringing Nebraska together. My Bridge Radio, that's I Am They, Make a Way, Stan and Gordon with you. The focus is going to be on mothers this coming Sunday, and while it is a day of celebration, it can also be a day of pain for women who would like to be moms but are dealing with infertility. We're talking this morning with Marilee Bradley about that topic.
And Marilee, you've talked this morning to the woman who's facing infertility. I would love for you now to speak to her friend and then to speak to her husband. What would you say to the friend of the woman who's struggling with infertility?
First things first, please don't tell your friend, just relax. That is like the number one piece of advice that gets tossed at infertile women, and it just does so much more harm than good. And I think people maybe are coming to have an awareness of that, how hurtful that can be, but I think the most important thing you can do is validate that this is hard, that this is a struggle. Not say, well, surely it'll happen later, or maybe this will fix it, or have you tried this, but just to be able to listen and to hear her heart in all this and to let her lead the conversation wherever it needs to go, and to realize that there are going to be times where she absolutely doesn't want to talk about this, where she may want to talk about anything else. She may want permission to laugh and to have fun and to not have this be the heavy thing that always follows her around and now is her identity. And a friend can really give that to their friend who's struggling with this. I think it's important, too, as a friend, to not try to offer solutions too quickly, even if the solution is adoption. Adoption is something that's such a personal decision, and a friend may get there in her own time, but that can feel like a Band-Aid or a quick fix when someone's telling you, oh, great, we'll just adopt. And the decision to get there is so much harder and weightier than that and requires such a grief process. So it's so good if you can just listen, just be able to hear your friend's heart and to be able to follow her where she's leading in this grief process.
Let's talk now to the husband of that woman. What would you say in terms of encouragement to him in light of his wife's struggle?
I think it is really hard for both partners to not take on this shame and make it about themselves. And I think for husbands, it's especially hard to not feel this frustration of, I can't fix it. I can't fix this for her. How do we fix this? How do we make her happy? And I think being able to just listen to your wife, to be able to express your own grief and loss, to be able to grieve these things together and to talk openly about it without feeling shamed about it or without feeling like this is just a problem that has to be solved, I think that's so incredibly important. And I think to realize your wife may be struggling with feeling like maybe she wouldn't be a good mom, and maybe that's why this isn't happening. And to speak to that lie for her and to be able to tell her that you know she could do this, you know she would be good at this, and that you trust that God can make this happen in whatever way is his plan, that's going to be so reassuring to her.
Helping keep you connected to God, MyBridge Radio, that's Hillary Scott and the Scott family with Thy Will. Thanks for joining Stan and me. Mother's Day is a special day to celebrate mothers and can also be a very difficult time for women who are experiencing the pain of infertility. Marilee Bradley is with us this morning sharing insights from her experience with us.
So Marilee, we talked about the lies that women can tend to believe who are struggling with infertility. So let's talk about the truth that she needs to cling to. What are the truths that you found that women really need to cling to who are struggling with the fear of infertility?
For me, I think there's kind of this spiritualizing of infertility or in this stage of life where I think about, like, for women who are single or men who are single, that we say, if you're really striving after God and that's your top priority, then maybe God will bring this other person magically into your life. And I think the implication can be if you don't have a spouse, it's because you're not striving hard enough after God. And I think we kind of tell the same story to infertile couples. If you're just pursuing God, if you just relax, if you just trust him, then God's going to give you a baby or God's going to take this desire away or whatever that is. And that can just heap more guilt on the infertile couple. And I think there's such an important truth to embrace the sadness of infertility. And I think we see that in so many Old Testament characters who struggle with infertility, that they weren't pretending like they were fine. They weren't acting like this was a great idea. They really were actively pleading with the Lord for a child, and that to just know and feel confident, it's okay to do that. It's okay to not just feel totally content in your childlessness, but to realize God made you this way for a purpose and to want to understand that and to trust that he's big enough to hear that pain.
Yeah, and I appreciate that perspective, Marilee, because I can see where, for those of us who are on the outside looking in, could say, you know, at some point, don't you just need to get over it? And life is more and fuller. I mean, I don't know where all our minds may go with that, but just to see the biblicalness of, no, that God placed this thing in the heart of women, and it's a good thing, but when it tarries, it could be a painful thing, and that pain is very real, and it's okay to embrace it, and it doesn't speak to your lack of spirituality.
Exactly. I think there's a desire to be content, and I think for me it was a learning process of realizing I needed to be content in who God made me, and God made me to be a woman who wanted to parent, and that's okay, and I had to embrace that instead of trying to find contentment just within my infertility, because it wasn't there. Like, God made me to want to pursue motherhood, to want to pursue children, and I needed that fire to go through all of the process that we had to go through to become parents.
Made new, that is Lincoln Brewster this morning on MyBridge Radio. Gordon and Stan with you, and we have had a rich time this morning as Marilee Bradley has been sharing insights for women experiencing the pain of infertility and for those of us who are walking with them in that journey.
Marilee, it's been great talking with you this morning. You did what I knew you would do, which is you brought great perspective in this whole area of infertility and the fear of infertility. Could you close our time this morning with a prayer for the women that are listening this morning that are where you've been, that they're at that place of infertility, and at least the fear of it currently, and they're struggling. But I'd love for you just to end with a prayer.
God, we struggle to know your plan, to know how you use suffering and hardship in our lives for our good, but we know that you do, and we see biblically how often you use infertility to accomplish your purpose, and we know that you still do that today. And I want to thank you for the gift of infertility in the way you've used that in my life, what a hard struggle it was, but how it taught me humility and taught me to trust you, and how it brought me the gift of my kids through adoption, that you use that for your glory. And I just pray that for the women who are struggling with this today, that you can affirm for them that they are not forgotten, that you remember them, that you see their struggle, and that it is not without a purpose, that you are shaping them into the daughters that you want them to be for you, and that you may even be shaping them into the mothers they're going to need to be in the future through this infertility process, that this is what you use in the hearts of people who are willing to trust you. God, we thank you that you love us and that your love sees exactly what we need. And it's almost surgeon-like precision, the scalpel that reaches down and finds those idols in our heart. And for some of us, that's the idol of being able to control our fertility. And that you take that away, because we need to replace it with a trust in you and an understanding that you control, that you give and you take away, and that we still need to bless your name. So God, I just ask you, give comfort to the women who are struggling. You'd give wisdom to their husbands and comfort to them as they struggle in their own ways. And that you would give wisdom to the community that surrounds these women. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.